You're listening to If You Only Knew with Dr. Debbie Strowman. Well, it is college football season. Many people are questioning whether or not Alabama, Crimson Tide, and those Clemson Tigers have ruined the game. How can you have two teams just dominate? And definitely within the past several years, it's been who will beat Alabama? Clemson has raised their paws, and they've done it. They've done it twice. And yes, there was what some people would say a slight hiccup with Georgia almost beating out the Crimson Tide. But other than that, it's been Alabama and it's been Clemson. Now, the folks who care about the bottom line, they are paying attention. They know that ratings have gone down for the college football national championship over the past 3 years. Is it because of the dominance of Alabama and then any other team that can compete? And again, it has been Clemson. There are some say it's similar to Tiger Woods and that domination, or UCLA basketball back in the 60s and 70s, or you can say other teams and individuals that have completely dominated their sport, and it makes others better. The thought is that if you have someone that's out front, everyone will chase, everyone will compete, everyone will continue to add more resources until you can knock the king or queen off their throne. And so the very, very large, boisterous, dedicated, loyal fan base of the Crimson Tide is loving this run. Now, do they definitely look like sad puppies when they lose that national championship? Absolutely. And I've witnessed it twice. They believe that their team deserves to be there. They put in all the work. The university is completely supportive of big-time football, or should I say pro football, on a college campus. The local community is built around Alabama football. And so that indeed is the standard. You get one of the brightest minds, Mr. Motivation, X's and O's champion, and you put together a staff where it's not just Nick Saban who's earning millions of dollars a year, but his top assistants as well. Yes, folks, we're at a point in time in college football, Division I bowl subdivision, where your offense and defensive coordinators make more than $1 million a year. Gasp, gulp, shake your head, scoff. It is the reality. The dollars that they're chasing, the branding, the revenues, more money coming into your university because donors love seeing their teams win. That's the defense for this escalation of commercialization. Big time college football is pro football. So we have Clemson, our star in the ACC, that has helped to put more money in each ACC institution's coffers, because the ACC is one of those conferences that believes in share the wealth. We are only as good as our weakest link on the field or on the court. So even though Boston College or Wake Forest will have great difficulty in being in the playoffs, they get to win when they look at those checks. Well, I imagine it's direct deposit today from Clemson football dominating. And who doesn't want the opportunity in the ACC to go against the champion, the team that will probably be in the college football playoffs? Teams now circle the Clemson Tigers as their team to beat that year. Yes, we have our ACC championship football game, but for the past few years and this year, people are writing in Clemson. That is their warm-up game to the playoffs. Agree or disagree? It's the reality, folks. Alabama, Clemson. Alabama, fill in the blank. Now, some are saying that the SEC, the Southeastern Conference, has been that football powerhouse, and other teams need not bother trying to compete. Can you keep up with the Joneses? Can you keep up with the Crimson Tide? Well, we know the money is flowing down south. We know LSU, Georgia, Mississippi State, Florida, and those teams that have ventured over to the SEC saying that we want a piece of this, like Missouri. They're definitely raising their game to get a piece of the spotlight. And again, to circle Alabama on the schedule. Well, the conferences have expanded. Now we have two divisions in these major conferences. We've got the Atlantic and we've got the Coastal. And maybe by having the divisions, you can avoid one of the powerhouses that particular year. That is your path to the championship, to your conference's national, your conference's championship is a lot easier if you don't have to meet up with Alabama or Clemson along the way. But there are those who are super competitive who say that if I'm going to be the best, I've got to beat all the teams that think they are the best. So if that means that there's a chance that I might lose to that team, but the upside is that I get to compete against them and I get to show how good my program is. And at the very least, I can use that data to go back to my athletic administration, to my president, to my university chancellor to say, see what they have? In fact, if you know the history of Alabama football, that's how Bear Bryant took his team to the next level. When the Southern Cal, those Trojans, ventured to Alabama to play a game, and they had a superstar running back who was African-American, Sam the Bam Cunningham. And when Sam ran up and down the field and made the Alabama football team look like middle school players, Bear Bryant, yes, the Bear Bryant, was the one who pushed and demanded that we get some of those players too. Prior to that, Alabama was known across the country as a powerhouse, but a powerhouse for white football players. But he realized times were a-changing and he wanted to continue to win. They say that Bear Bryant did more for race relations in the state of Alabama than Martin Luther King and all the civil rights leaders. Because when Bear spoke, people listened. Because those folks in Alabama love football. So, let's pay attention. It's the 2019 college football season, and I think we're all ready to watch these young men compete. You're listening to If You Only Knew with Dr. Debbie Stroman on 97.9 The Hill. You're listening to If You Only Knew with Dr. Debbie Stroman. We are talking about college football. And there's no doubt there is an arms race in play. Everybody wants to beat the king of the hill. And right now, that is the Atlantic Coast Conference, Clemson Tigers. But we know, historically, the Southeastern Conference has competed well. And others would say that Clemson is just a blip on the screen, that Alabama still dominates college football in every way possible. People want to emulate them. Well, when you look at the money that's being spent with college football facilities, I think you might have to go with the Crimson Tide. Here's some very, very startling and surprising things to know about college football facilities. Alabama, home to a 37,000 square feet, $9 million weight room. It has a few waterfalls in the hydrotherapy pool. The 97,000 square foot Hank Crisp indoor facility includes a 130-yard long field, so the Tide can claim the largest practice area in the country. And of course, they have four outdoor practice fields. And that team that continues to be that thorn in Crimson Tide's path to the national championship, our Clemson Tigers. They've devoted $55 million to build an elaborate venue just for the team. Yes, they are student athletes, but clearly, all students don't get a chance to be a part of the football experience. And as it's been stated from a Clemson official, this home on campus is the place that the players will go when they're not in class. Well, forget about getting to know some of those football players, because if I had a place like this, I think that's where I'd go. Between classes, after classes, before classes, and get to know my teammates. Forget about those other folks on campus. This facility at Clemson has an indoor mini golf course, a barber shop, sand volleyball pit, and outdoor kitchen area. Is there value in walking up to Franklin Street or a neighboring town to get your hair cut? Be able to hear the stories, hear those elders talk about the way it used to be and how the food tasted better, and to talk about politics, red and blue, and what's happening around the world. Many of those young men will miss that engagement, that social skills development that we know is definitely needed considering what's happening with our addiction to smartphones. Well, say goodbye to that. In between classes, just run over to the football facility and get your hair cut. Notre Dame, 25,000 square foot weight room and a rehab center on the first floor, which is pretty cool. But guess what? Head coach Brian Kelly gets to look out over the practice field from his second floor office. Talking about paying attention to detail, well, we're paying attention to everything. A lot of people don't know that Oklahoma State has one of the most spectacular football facilities in the country. They've got three full-length outdoor fields. Two of them are grass and one is artificial turf. Talking about getting the opportunity to play on the right playing surface to match next week's opponent. Now, most of us have heard about Oregon because of Nike founder Phil Knight. Oregon has now leaped over many folks, many teams, to be very, very competitive in basketball and football. Money changes things. It's been stated that Phil Knight, his contributions were more than $300 million to the athletic department. And many people watch Oregon football just to see which uniform combination they will wear. They are really, really right on the edge of looking like clowns at times to being the sharpest outfitted team in the nation, including pro football. But they've renovated their stadium. They built a complex. They've got lockers, weight room, cafeteria, and saunas. Tennessee, hydrotherapy room, 7,000 square foot locker room with ventilated lockers and a 22,000 square foot weight room. No, you don't have to wait for any dumbbells. There are plenty available. And what Southern Cal did, listening to the demands of then-coach Lane Kiffin back in 2012, they built the $70 million John McKay Center, which has 278 interconnected 15-inch television screens forming one gigantic two-floor video wall. They've got pre-installed iPads in all 114 of the football lockers. And you're not going to believe this one. They have an underground 40-yard AstroTurf practice field. And yes, Southern Cal, very strong academic institution. They made sure that in their academic facilities for their football players, they've got 25 tutorial computer stations. Yes, they are hoping that they keep the GPA over 2.0. So for those of you in the area who are complaining about Mack Brown and his $5 million renovations, what was needed, what was demanded, Coach Brown said that we have to compete. We have to show our recruits that we care, that we've got nice things here in Tar Heel Town. And so they've got a lounge. It's built for fun and relaxation. You've got sleeping pods now, so you don't have to hike back to your room. You can sleep on campus in the football facility. You've got brand new video games to keep you competitive and a phone charging station. I think that's needed in every school building on campus. You've got a locker room that has lockers that have a cooling station, so you don't have to worry about wet shoulder pads and helmets. And of course, the talk of the town is the $2 million AstroTurf synthetic turf field at Keenan Stadium. If the pros have it, we need it. Well, five NFL teams have this same turf. Will it save? Well, no more cutting of the grass. It's much better for maintenance. We'll see how the players like it. I know back in the day, it was important to play on grass. That was better for your body. Well, there you have it. College football facilities, keeping up with the Joneses, trying to make your next great player, your recruit, happy. You're listening to If You Only Knew with Dr. Debbie Stroman on 97.9 The Hill. You're listening to If You Only Knew with Dr. Debbie Stroman on 97.9 The Hill. We're ready for college football, and there's no doubt that UNC wants to get back on top. Coach Mack Brown was quoted as saying, "We're doing exactly what Clemson and Alabama are doing, and it's healthy for the guys." Speaking about inviting NFL scouts to watch practice, well, that mindset is also playing out in the college football facilities. Now, mind you, the NCAA says that the probability of going pro is pretty small. There's over 74,000 football players in the NCAA, and 1.7 go to the NFL. And that's with an average career of less than 4 years. 1.7 go to the NFL. And that could be maybe you make the scout team, maybe it lasts for 3 weeks, or maybe you do have a contract for a few years, several years. Yes, the odds of being the surgeon and all of these other professions that are listed, your probability of doing that is greater. But who wants to take away someone's passion and their gift as an athlete? I say go for it. If you think you can be an NFL player, put your heart and soul and your mind into it. But you better prepare for life after football. Because guess what? When you finish that career, you might be 25 years old. You'll be blessed if you're 30 years old. What are you going to do with the rest of your life? So enjoy it while you can, and many players are. When you consider all of the toys, all the entertainment, all of the things that are done for you as a Division I NCAA football player in the bowl subdivision. Now, all of these perks, all of these amazing things that are given football players, it's a lot different from when I was in school. Guys played. They were competitive, and many of them won titles. And they practiced for, what, 3-4 hours a day? And they ate the same food that other students ate. They didn't have 5 or 6 uniforms to choose from. They probably maybe had 2 pairs of cleats the entire season. They didn't travel in charter jets. But they did okay. They won games, they won championships, and they grew up and became fine citizens, raising families, keeping down a job, being executives. So what am I saying? Is all of this glamour, all of this money, is that really good for the young man? We might not know the results. We might know that might not know the answer to that question for years to come. But I do believe it's important for our student athletes to be a part of the college campus and not to be lifted up with so many things that are attributable to privilege, assets, and wealth. It has to do something for that young psyche to have so much favor and to segregate them from the regular college experience. Now, others would argue this is the way we pay our athletes if we aren't going to give them cash, and we're going to give them that dream of a lifetime to be able to go across the country and play against the best teams, to have the best uniforms, to wear that college brand during those 4 years. Pretty awesome, indeed. You're listening to If You Only Knew with Dr. Debbie Strowman, 97.9 The Hill.